Matthew 6 again. Matthew 6. Read 19 to 23, I'm sorry. The context is still in what we heard this morning of laying up treasures either in heaven or on the earth. We'll open with prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Father, as we learn this morning, I pray that you would help us, Father, to lay up treasure in heaven. Father, that we would lay it up where our hearts are. Lord, I pray that that would be each one of our hearts. Lord, help us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Help us, Heavenly Father, to not, Father, find satisfaction in the perishing and transitory things of this world. Help us, Lord. Father, more than anything, we want to magnify your name in our lives. And Lord, we want to be what we should be in Christ. Lord, we want to be actual and genuine reflections of Christ in our lives when we go out in the world. We don't want to misrepresent Christ. Father, we want to be conformed to your image in every way. Lord, so often we fall so short. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus now passes from the treasure of the heart. Let's read verse 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. I heard an old Puritan writer say, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? See the exclamation point? Jesus lifting up his voice there on the mountain. And that last phrase seems a bit puzzling. If therefore the light is darkness. So he's calling that light darkness, actually. We're going to read the synoptic to this in a moment, but Jesus now passes from the treasure of the heart, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, to the eye, which he calls the light of the body. Now understand that when Jesus said the eye is the light of the body, what I believe he was and is saying is that your eyes reveal the singleness, and that's the word he uses, if thine eye be single. And it doesn't mean one eye. It means if your eyes are sincere in your heart and mind as to whether you and your heart are sincerely and singularly fixed upon Christ. See, your eye is either single, meaning healthy, clear, and singularly fixed upon Christ, or your eye is evil, as the Lord says here, meaning corrupt, blurred, and darkened. Listen, the motive of your heart is revealed in the objects or treasures of your eyes. The eyes and the heart are hardwired together. It's like the senses. Your senses, your hearing is hardwired to your heart. Your eyes are hardwired to your heart. Again, your eyes are the windows into your soul. Your view of the world and its treasures and also of heaven and its treasures will be manifested in the desires of your eyes and what they are fixed upon. Desires of your eyes or your heart. So when you think of eyes, don't just think of your sight of something, physical sight. Think of your view. Your view. And so, and I think that Jesus is talking about the affections. Now look at Luke 11:34. It's a little different. It's Luke's rendering of the same passage. Luke 11:34. Get excited because, you know, we hear God teaches us this. And I get excited when I get to come up here and study in my time, private time. And now we get to go out and live this. And we ought to be excited to live this. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. But here in Luke 11:34, look, he says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. There it is again. He's talking about light actually being darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, remember what the Lord Jesus said in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So remember that. Think about that. So listen, if your heart is fixed upon Christ and you're laying up for yourselves heavenly treasures, if you have set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, the course of your life will be healthy. It'll be spiritually clear. It'll be focused on Jesus Christ and the unsearchable riches of Christ. If your heart is right, if you've set your affection on things above, if you're laying up treasures in heaven, all that comes from the heart. So remember, your eyes are governed by your heart. Our affections are governed by our hearts. So what's in your heart? Jesus said, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. So your eyes are governed by your heart. Your eyes will look toward and love what your heart desires. This just came to mind. Sometimes that happens. And I got to go there now before I forget it because I'm getting old. But I thought about this. Listen, the wise man says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then he goes on, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's Proverbs 4:23. And so remember, beloved, your eyes... And Jesus is talking about the eyes here. The eyes, your eyes are governed by your heart. Your eyes will look toward and love what your heart desires. Now, if your heart is fixed upon Christ, your view of this life and eternal life will be correct and right. If you're fixed upon Christ, your view of this life and eternal things, the judgment to come, it's going to be correct and right. You will see the world and eternity through the clear and undefiled lens of the truth of God's word. You'll view everything that happens in this life through the truth of the word of God. Verse 22b. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Notice thy whole body, your whole being, your thoughts, your whole heart shall be full of life. You will be wholehearted and single-sighted. Now, let me give you something that's synonymous with being single-sighted or having a sincere eye. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 2. Psalm 119 and verse 2. And this should be a desire of ours. We don't want to have a heart and a heart. The scriptures teach that there are people in the world that have two hearts. Remember what Joshua said to the people in Joshua 24:15. Remember what he said? How long halt ye, God's people, between two opinions? They had two hearts. And that's what it means when you go. I'll show you a scripture in a minute. It means you have a heart and a heart. It means that you're trying to go through the Christian life with one foot on earthly treasures and one foot on heavenly treasures. Don't work like that. And we'll not get there tonight, but it says you can't serve two masters. Can't do it. And neither will Christ tolerate that. So look, Psalm 119 and verse 2. Look at it there. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart, with a single heart. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. The problems in our Christian lives often arise when we seek God with a half a heart, or with a third of our heart, or with almost no heart at all. But the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. That helps us to be wholehearted. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. More in line with the eyes, verse 18, open thou mine eyes. Open my heart. Open my understanding, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or out of thy word. Verse 32, remember we're talking about being single-minded, single-eyed, sincere-eyed, sincere-hearted. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. We ought to pray for large hearts. Lord, give me a large heart. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to the treasures of this world. See right there? To covetousness. And we could go on, but we'll leave it right there. So remember, if thine eye be single, thy whole body, if your eye is sincerely fixed upon Christ, your whole body shall be full of light. You'll be governed by Christ. Your view of the world will be right and correct. Your course will be straight on. You'll walk with God wholeheartedly. But now, conversely, if your heart is divided and you tend to be focused and fixed downwardly and in the world. And listen, you don't need to be a theologian to examine yourself of these things. No, not one of us needs me to describe what it means to be worldly. Listen, if the Spirit of God's in you, you know what worldly-mindedness is. You know what the world is. You know when you grieve God's Spirit. You know when you begin to desire things that are against God and things that push us away from God. You know that. You don't need anybody to tell you that, because God puts the earnest of the Spirit in us, and the Spirit bears witness. And so we know that. So if your heart's divided and you tend to be focused and fixed downwardly and in the world, if you're laying up treasures in the world, if your head is nailed to the earth like Sisera's head was nailed to the ground, then the course of your life will be sinful, corrupt, blurred, and spiritually unhealthy, and you'll be off course. You'll go in the course away from God. You'll be turned aside, the scripture says. Your view of this life will be dark. It will be corrupt. It'll be wrong. You will readily forfeit eternal life, casting Jesus aside because of your love for your sins and for this present evil world. Verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, Jesus said, means to have a diseased eye. That's what it means, an unhealthy, diseased eye. Now, humanly speaking, we can have a diseased eye with a good heart, but this here is the heart's got the disease, and so the eye follows suit. So if thine eye be evil, remember the eye is hardwired to the heart, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Thy whole body, your complete being. What is this darkness that he talks about? And then he says, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So what is Jesus speaking of here? And I believe he's talking about the understanding. And look at it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Turn there. Ephesians 4 and 17. The book of Ephesians 4 and verse 17. If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If thine eye be evil and diseased, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Look at 4:17. Paul says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth Christians, Ephesian Christians, Gentile Christians, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. See, that's a diseased heart, gives you a diseased eye. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, the eyes, they're blind. Who being past feeling. You know what it means to be past feeling? Men know this. You get calluses and you can actually burn your hand and you don't feel it because you got hard calluses. So it being callous is when our hearts are callous. We're past feeling. Having given themselves over unto lasciviousness or filthiness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But he says, but you, Christian, have not so learned Christ. That's not us. We don't have a darkened understanding. We ought not to have a darkened understanding. Look at Acts 26. This is Paul's testimony when he was before Agrippa, I believe. And he gives of his calling on the Damascus road. It says in verse 14 of Acts, actually verse 12, he says, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, he was, yes, I like that because he had a commission from the chief priest. He was about to be decommissioned by Jesus and recommissioned into the gospel ministry. I love that. Says he had authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee. To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so he came to bring them into the light. Listen, John said this, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, they hate the light, neither will they come to the light, lest their deeds will be manifested or reproved. But those that are in Christ, they come to the light. Now, 1 John 1:6, just a few more supporting scriptures. So remember, if thine eye be evil or diseased, thy whole body is full of darkness, or it shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then lastly, chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 John 2, 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So he's talking about one that says they're in the light, but they hate their brother. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And so back to the book of Matthew. Go back to Matthew and we'll close this little section out. And next time we'll pick up in verse 24. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now remember, the heart is hardwired, or the eyes are hardwired to the eyes. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now remember that your eyes are governed by your heart. And so if you're laying up treasures on the earth, and that's where your affections are, you've got a problem with your heart, because your eyes are hardwired to your heart. And if your eyes desire the things of this world and this life, then there's a problem with the heart. And that's why your eyes train and fix upon the things of this life. But if your heart is fixed upon Christ, your view of this life and eternal life will be right and correct. So remember that, beloved. So the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil or diseased, thy whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I just want to close with a prayer of the Apostle Paul. For I believe this very thing in the Ephesians 1:15. Listen, remember this. There's one heart. We want to have one heart. Children of God, you want to have one heart. You don't want to have two hearts. You don't want to have a heart and a heart. Actually, I told you I'd read you that passage. Let me read you that, and then I'll read you Ephesians. Psalm 12. Look at it. Psalm 12 and verse 1. Psalm 12. And verse 1, the psalmist here says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart that they speak. It means a heart and a heart. A heart and a heart. James chapter 1, look there. Just two more little examples there, and we'll go to Ephesians. James chapter 1 and verse 8. James 1, 8. He's asking prayer. He said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 5. Whom God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What type of man? One that doesn't ask in faith. One that wavers. One that has two hearts. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Means he has a heart and a heart. Two hearts. He doesn't have a heart fixed upon Christ. That's why this prayer is not answered for this type of person. One who's double-hearted. Because they've got one foot firmly planted in the world and they want to have another foot planted in heaven. Doesn't work that way. And then James 4:8. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, ye, there it is, double-hearted, double-minded. Listen, this is probably one of the most common things that happens to us in the world, beloved. We have a heart and a heart. But Jesus says, you would be single-eyed if thine eye be single. When we go out of those doors, we need to have a single, sincere, one heart fixed upon Christ, beloved. One heart. We need to have one treasure. We need to have a single eye with one clear mind and one clear view of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one heart, one treasure, one eye with one clear mind and view to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, which is a prayer that I wish to pray for you. Paul says in Ephesians 1:15, he said to the Ephesians, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that God would open your eyes and give you understanding. Look, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so, beloved, pray this for yourself. I will pray this for you. Beloved, we want our whole being to be full of light. Of the truth of God's word. Listen, the psalm says, the entrance of thy word into your heart and mind giveth light. It giveth light unto the simple. That's what we need when we go out there, beloved. We need a single eye, a single heart to set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And that way, we don't go out of these doors compromising. And bartering with the world, having a heart and a heart. No, brethren, that's not how we are to live. And so, beloved, pray for yourself. Feed on this scripture. The light of the body is the eye. We want our whole body, our whole spirit, our whole mind to be full of light. Listen, if you go out and you get off course, it's because your heart is not being governed by the things of God. You're not obeying the truths of Christ. And so that's what we need, brethren. And so pray for one another in this, and I will pray for you as well. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your grace and kindness. Thank you for this truth of your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord. I pray that our hearts and minds would be full of thy truth. Oh God, we know the entrance of thy words into our hearts and minds will give light. It'll give light to us, Father. We don't profess to be the smartest or wisest people, but we know that that's not what brings us close to thee. What brings us close to thee is your love for us, Father, and our love for your word. And so we ask for your help and your blessing. Be with these dear saints as they go to their homes. Be with our children that are lost. We pray for them. And we ask that you would bless each one, O Father, with salvation. We pray that you would continue to work in our midst. Help us, Lord. Help every single soul that came this morning. I pray that you'd work in each heart and mind. Lord, do your work, that unseen work that none of us know, none of us can see. But Father, we pray for it. And we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.